This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
The case against Koberger, it's getting more interesting by the moment, really. And we're going to talk about some of those new developments here in just a second. The latest turn of events in the case, the defense is hammering away at crucial new revelations, unidentified male DNA at the crime scene. Now, this isn't exactly super new. We did hear about this a long time ago, but hey, let's point it out more, and maybe there's something to it. Well, prosecutors remain steadfast in their case against Koberger. His legal team is arguing that this unknown DNA could suggest alternative suspects, or at the very least, cast reasonable doubts. That's the goal. But will this argument hold up in court? Could this be a potential game changer, or is it just another classic defense tactic that ultimately won't sway a jury? To break it all down, the legal significance of the evidence, the defense's strategy, and what we can expect moving forward, joined by attorney and former prosecutor Eric Faddis. Eric, when we are looking at this case and the discovery of the identified male DNA, is it something that you think really could truly shake up the prosecution's case, or is it just another one of the Hail Marys that seems to be being thrown by Ann Taylor as we continue on this journey?
Yeah, Tony, in first hearing about it, it kind of seems like a bombshell, right? It seems like this huge deal that there's other potential male DNA at the scene. But when you really dig into it and what the potential explanations are for that DNA there, it's not overly impactful for me. I think that there are ways the government is going to handle this that could be effective, and certainly the defense has a right to argue it, but I'm not sure it goes as far as they think they do.
Yeah, I mean, it's I saw it, and I remember hearing about this early on, that there was other unidentified male DNA. I think we just recently learned that it was blood DNA that was found off of. But again, it didn't really strike me as anything all that exciting, quite honestly, because it wasn't found on or really near the bodies. If we're considering the knife sheath was like right there on the bodies, this was on a railing in another part of the house. And the other one was inside a glove that was found outside of the house, you know, kind of out there near the road and such. If you're a defense attorney, though, and you have this, you know, other DNA that has shown up, I would assume this is probably the road you'd want to head down, other than just presenting it here now as possible reasonable doubt in the court of public opinion. Where do you think Ann Taylor is going to take it?
Yeah, you know, I think having Koberger's DNA at the scene on the knife sheath in the way that it is in proximity to the victim, that could be a nail in the coffin. And so the defense is smart to try to attack that. The way they're attacking that is highlighting this other potential DNA. And if I'm the defense, I'm saying, hey, look, this came from blood. Why is there not only one man's blood on the premises, but two people's blood, blood samples for males? Now, I think I'm not sure how much blood was actually there. I don't think it was like a huge pool of blood on the inside railing or something. But definitely a route the defense has to go, because they don't have a lot of other evidence.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at where the blood was found, a handrail. Okay, I mean, I cook all the time, so I don't currently have a scar on my hand today, but it's a lucky day. Normally, there'd be something going on for me, my knife, and whatever. So a handrail, again, a place you're going to put your hand, and people do get cuts in their hand, and you can find blood there, I'm sure. And a glove outside in a cold weather environment. I've lived in many a cold weather environments. I've lived in college towns, and I've gone for walks at night or any time of the day. And I would say, you know, almost anywhere where it's cold, walk for, I don't know, 30 minutes outside, you're probably going to find a couple gloves laying on the ground. And again, if you have a glove on, and if you have anything, a hangnail and whatever, you could easily have DNA in it. It doesn't seem like that strong of an argument, but can the prosecution make it that clear to a jury?
You know, I think that is what they're going to have to do, because there is sort of like a sexiness to arguing for the defense, saying that, hey, there's this other two other male DNA at the scene. So the government really has to neutralize that. They have to take the bite out of that, perhaps by arguing that, hey, look, like you said, this is a college house. Man, I've went to college, and you know, it wouldn't be unusual for there to be vomit and spit and all sorts of biological fluids there. So the fact that there is some biological material from other dudes at this college potential party house, that's not a huge bombshell.
It doesn't seem like it to me either, but I get they're going to throw it out there. Ultimately, at the end of it, Ann Taylor is really trying to push, look, the way that you got the DNA on Koberger on the knife sheath, we don't think that was right. And it's an interesting argument, because it's not illegal the way that they covered it. It more so technically violates a policy within the FBI, the way that they had gotten that information by going into that private database. Again, anyone could do it if you had the information to do it, if you had the DNA. Again, nothing illegal about it, but that's what they're saying. More so it violates policy than it does actually break the law. But is that enough, though, to get something like that thrown out of court, which would essentially throw the whole case out if you take that out of the equation?
Yeah, you know, I think the judge is going to say, you know, policy is small. It's not a big deal. It's not germane to the legal issues the court would have to decide. Like you said, this is just as our modern society kind of progresses, there are going to be creative measures that law enforcement and defense have to take to keep up with the times and to improve their cases in a meaningful way. I think that's what the prosecution did, and I don't think a judge is going to find fault with it.
And they're asking, the defense right now, asking for a Franks hearing to look at the alleged omission of DNA evidence. Koberger's attorneys claim investigators omitted key details about the unknown DNA when obtaining search warrants. They argue that the magistrate judge had known about the DNA. The arrest warrant might not have been approved. Is that going to be a strong enough argument if they, in fact, are granted that Franks hearing?
Hard to win on a Franks hearing. I've done several of them. And, you know, because the thing is, the standard that the prosecution had to meet to get the warrant is super low. It's probable cause. And so a judge looking at that is going to say, it would have been nice to know about these potentially exculpatory pieces of information. But what's most central is that these victims were stabbed to death. There's a knife sheath within the building, and it allegedly has Brian Koberger's DNA on it. That is enough in and of itself, regardless of what other facts may have been omitted, to win the day on probable cause and to overcome a Franks hearing challenge from defense.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.